The word of God for our meditation today, recorded in Isaiah chapter 8, previously read. In the name of Jesus, who is the light of the world, dear fellow redeemed. Tell me, is anybody sick of winter yet? The cold, the snow, the long nights, the short days. You know, for a lot of people, this time of year is like depressing. In fact, for some people, it affects them a lot. It affects them with a form of depression called seasonal affective disorder. Have you heard of that? Seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, is how a lot of people feel when there's not enough sunlight to go around. They feel listless and hopeless and sad and depressed. Is there a treatment for seasonal affective disorder? There is. It's basically get some more light in your life. Go outside a little more. Make sure the blinds are up all through the day. Sit in front of a light therapy lamp that mimics sunlight. Every day, people spend time trying to bring more sunshine into their lives. They look to the light to stave off the effects of having too much darkness this time of year. We realize that idea of looking to the light to counter the effects of darkness in our world applies to more than just our emotional or physical health. It also applies to our spiritual health. I mean, when we look around, we see a lot of darkness in our world. There's a lot of really nasty stuff going on, and that can leave us feeling sad, down in the dumps, angry, afraid. But just as there's a way to overcome the Wisconsin winters, there's a way to overcome the darkness in our world. And the tactic is simply this: look to the light. No, not a light therapy lamp, but rather look to the light of Christ. My friends, that's the message that the prophet Isaiah has for us today as we consider this theme: Christian, look to the light. Here Isaiah makes two main points. He says, first of all, darkness has enveloped the world, and yet the light of Christ has dawned. First, a little context here. You maybe remember that in the Old Testament, after the death of Solomon, the nation of Israel was divided into two kingdoms. You had the northern kingdom called Israel and the southern kingdom called Judah. Isaiah lived in Judah and preached mainly to Judah, but he was not oblivious to what was going on in Israel. And it wasn't good. When it comes to the spiritual life of Israel, you might say it was a dumpster fire. Rather than following the true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the people of Israel turned to worship the false gods of the Canaanites, which basically were all sex gods. Their idea of worship was going to the temple and sleeping with a prostitute. And the children that were produced by these illicit affairs were ultimately sacrificed to the gods by being thrown into the fire. The people of Israel had basically stopped listening to what God said in His Word and instead wanted to listen to fortune tellers and mediums who claimed that they could speak to the dead, or as Isaiah called them, spiritists who whisper and mutter. or as the old King James put it, wizards that peep. Some of you remember a book by Dr. Sigurd Becker by that title that focused on the occult. You add to that kind of spiritual idolatry the fact that people were chasing after political corruption, the rich were abusing the poor. You put all that together and you realize that the nation of Israel was living in spiritual darkness. Well, in the end, it was that darkness, that idolatry, that immorality that brought down God's judgment on the nation. And the tool that God used to bring down that judgment was the Assyrians. The Assyrian army was infamous for being bloodthirsty and violent. I mean, they were like the terrorists of the day of Isaiah. I mean, they weren't just content to just kill people. They would first flay them alive. They'd pile up human heads in the village into a big pyramid just to prove that they were the ones in control. Can you imagine? Actually, maybe you can. I mean, when you think about what was going on in Isaiah's day, do you maybe see some parallels between what's happening in our day? When you think about the number of people chasing after the gods of sex and money and political power, when you think about the number of children, both born and unborn, that are being sacrificed on the altar of personal choice, when you think of the horrific crimes being committed against women and children and those who can't defend themselves. After 2,700 years, things haven't changed all that much. We are still living in a world enveloped in darkness. And maybe that leaves you feeling sad, discouraged, depressed, afraid. Recently, I talked to someone that said, seriously, how could anybody bring a child into this world? I mean, a world where our children are going to have to decide for themselves what gender they are? A world where our children are going to be judged by the color of their skin? If it's dark, they're a criminal. If it's white, they're privileged. A world where simply speaking the truth, biblical truth, is now suddenly hate speech. All of this is evidence that we live in a world enveloped in darkness. And what's even worse is the darkness is not just out there somewhere. It's in here too. Every one of us is born with a piece of darkness. And that darkness shows itself when we try to hide our sins or cover them up or justify them. When we cling to that lustful thought or that feeling of bitterness or that juicy gossip. My friends, it doesn't matter whether we're looking out the window we're looking in the mirror. There's a lot of darkness that we see in us and around us. And that darkness starts to wear us down. It starts to lead us to say, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my family? What's going to happen to my world? Tell me, is there a cure for these emotions that are created by the increasing darkness inside us and outside of us? Yes, there is. And it's simply this. Christian, look to the light. Isaiah tells us that not only is it true that darkness has enveloped the world, but more importantly, it's true that the light of Christ has dawned. Isaiah puts it this way. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Now, someone might ask, well, what is that great light that has dawned? And how do we know that Isaiah, who actually lived 700 years before Jesus, is actually talking about Christ? We know it for two reasons. First of all, because four verses later, Isaiah fleshes out who this light is when he speaks some pretty familiar words. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. Notice not a government, one government, the government. All earthly authority is controlled by this person. He goes on. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There's only one person in the world who fills that bill. Only one person in the world who can create peace between a holy God and an unholy people. And it's the God-man, Jesus Christ. That's who Isaiah is talking about. But that's not the only reason we know that. We also know it from the first verse of chapter 9, where Isaiah talks about the effect that this light is going to have on one particular region of the world. Isaiah says, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor the Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan." What does Isaiah mean by that? I mean, like, where is Zebulun and Naphtali? Well, maybe you remember those were two of the most northern tribes in Israel, right up there by the Sea of Galilee. And that means that when the Assyrian army invaded from the north, the first place they hit was Zebulun and Naphtali. They enslaved those nations. They carried them off into captivity. And that's what Isaiah means by God humbled Zebulun and Naphtali. Now jump ahead 700 years. And that same region around the Sea of Galilee is called what? Galilee. And who spent an awful lot of time in Galilee? Jesus of Nazareth. In fact, our gospel writer told us exactly why Jesus spent so much time in Galilee. He writes, "Leaving Nazareth, Jesus went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." My friends, you realize that those words don't just apply to people living in Galilee back in Jesus' day. They apply to all of us too. Why do I say that? Because you and I are living in the land of the shadow of death, right? I mean, you realize what the mortality rate in the United States is these days? 100%. Sooner or later, everybody dies. And you and I know why that is. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. This is what sinful people deserve from a holy God. But by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, we also know the rest of the story. We know what God has done to rescue us from eternal death. He sent Jesus to live and die in our place to take away the sting of death and give us life that never ends. Jesus is our life and our light. Or as Isaiah put it, a light has dawned. You realize what that means? It means that no matter how bleak things may be, no matter how dark things seem to be becoming, Jesus gives us hope for the future. He gives us hope by pushing back the darkness, right? It's like when you go camping and you finally get that Coleman lantern lit and suddenly the darkness is pushed back, right? Now you can start to see things that you couldn't see in the dark. Well, so it is with Jesus. The light of Christ allows us to see things that we couldn't see before. In the light of Jesus, we see that all of our sins are sunk to the bottom of the sea. In the light of Christ, we see that there is no evil force that Jesus has not already overcome. In the light of Jesus, we see that even the hardships we go through in life are circumstances that God is using to draw us closer to Himself. In the light of Jesus, we see that nothing can separate us from God's love. That even death becomes simply the way that God takes us to heaven. And friends, whether we're talking about the challenge of living in Wisconsin in the winter, or we're talking about the challenge of living in a world darkened by unbelief, that's becoming more and more godless, the fact is, light makes all the difference in the world. The next time you're feeling stressed out, the next time you're bothered by the increasing darkness, look to the light. Let the light of Jesus pour down on you. Bask in His love. Grasp His covenant of forgiveness. Let His promise that He'll never leave you or forsake you take away the fear of being alone. Let His promise that He'll never give you more than you can handle give you courage for the future. And then as that light shines on you, it enables you to reflect it toward others. As you show God's love to others, you're letting your light shine. Isn't that what Jesus said? Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let's face it, we live in a world that is enveloped in darkness. But that doesn't mean we have no hope. Our hope is found not in our ability to change the world. Our hope is found in the fact that God has already changed us. In Jesus' perfect life and innocent death and resurrection, He's made us new. He's given us a life that never, ever ends. No matter where you are in your life, no matter what doubts or fears or worries you have, God's invitation stands. Look to the light. Trust in the light. Walk in the light. For as Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Believe it and live it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much for worshiping with us today. We hope that God's word has strengthened your faith. To help us know more about the reach of our efforts here at Manav, we hope that you'll like and subscribe to our YouTube and Facebook pages, and that you also sign our online friendship register to let us know that you're listening today. God bless and keep you.